Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to an Adept English podcast designed to help you learn to speak English fluently. I love the English language, and I help hundreds of thousands of listeners speak English every month. Listen to this podcast today and see how your fluency improves. Hi, and welcome to this podcast from Adept English. If you're wondering how to learn English speaking at home, then you're in the right place. Adept English has the goal, the purpose of helping people who are learning how to speak English. If you're finding learning English is difficult and it's taking you more time than you expected, then you may be missing information on what is the best way to learn. How exactly do you become fluent? How do you improve your understanding so that you don't have to translate? And how do you improve your speaking so that the words come automatically and you don't have to think about it? Well, if you would like some answers to these questions, then you need the information that's contained in our free course, The 7 Rules of Adept English. It analyses how we learn language. What are the important elements that you need in order to become fluent? This is important information. Don't miss out. You can sign up for this free course on our website at adeptenglish.com today and hear how to learn English quickly, or certainly more quickly. Previously, I've done some podcasts on phrasal verbs. That's P-H-R-A-S-A-L, phrasal. And it means those verbs in English which are a phrase, which are made up of more than one word. Verbs like to hurry up, to dress up, or to speed up all have a verb and a preposition. They exist as verbs without the preposition, but the preposition changes the meaning. And these verbs, these phrasal verbs, are important because we use them all the time in speech. They tend to be a more informal expression. And usually there's a more formal verb which we might use instead if we're writing. So in more formal English, instead of saying to speed up, which means to increase your speed, we'd say to accelerate. That's A-C-C-E-L-E-R-A-T-E. So I started to cover to get as a phrasal verb in previous podcasts. And I covered the following: to get along, to get at, to get away, to get by, to get into, to get in, to get on, and to get off. Shall we do some more today? So what about the phrasal verb to get out? Well, it has the meaning of escape. In films and dramas, a very common phrase is, "We've got to get out of here." That was a terrible American accent attempt, but that's what they say. It sounds a bit like Scooby-Doo, if you know that cartoon. So to get out of means to escape, to get free, to get away. I'm explaining one phrasal verb with two others, I suppose. But to escape is the best explanation. And to get out of is not just reserved for getting away from monsters like in Scooby-Doo. You would also say, "I had a difficult time getting out of London on Thursday because of all the traffic." So in this case, to get out of is more like to leave. "I had a difficult time leaving London on Thursday because of all the traffic" means the same. But in informal conversation, people would say, "I had a difficult time getting out of London." Another meaning of to get out of: if you imagine any teenager, or yourself as a teenager, and your mother or your father is coming to you with a list of jobs that they would like you to do around the house this weekend, what does the typical teenager do? Of course, they try to avoid this list of jobs. They'll give all kinds of reasons why it's not going to be possible. So we'd say in informal English that they were trying to get out of doing their jobs. Christopher tried to get out of doing the washing up by saying he'd sprained his hand. Rebecca got out of walking the dog because she said she had too much homework. Sarah got out of looking after her baby sister because she had a headache, etc. You get the picture. And it's not just teenagers. We all sometimes try to avoid doing things we don't want to do. We attempt to get out of whatever it is we don't like to do. What about the phrasal verb to get over? Well, this one means the same as to recover. And it doesn't mean recover as in recover an object. That one would be like if you left your umbrella on the train and you went to the lost property office and you got your umbrella back. You recovered it. So the more usual meaning of to get over, meaning to recover, means when you recover from an illness or from a bad experience or from a relationship. So if someone caught COVID-19, you might ask, and has she recovered now? Has she got over it now? So it can be used to get over of when someone has an illness. You get over the flu, you get over an operation, or you get over a fall. It can be used of a bad experience. So if someone has had a bad car accident, you might say, and has she got over it now? Meaning, is she happy to get back into the car and drive again? A slight variation, Americans might say, have you gotten over it now? That's G-O-T-T-E-N. And in both UK and US English, if someone has ended a relationship, or worse, their partner has ended the relationship with them, you might ask, have you got over your relationship breakup now? Or if you had a bad exam result that you didn't expect and you were really sad for a time, you might eventually say, I've got over it now. I don't feel as sad anymore. To get rid, R-I-D. This is a phrasal verb which doesn't use a preposition. The word rid can also be used itself as a verb. And it means the same thing. To rid yourself of something or someone is the same as to get rid of something or someone. It means you dispose of it or them. You remove it or them from your life. I have got rid of all my cactuses. I was fed up of being prickled. Or I've got rid of my latest boyfriend. I was finding him a pain in the neck. Doesn't mean you've murdered him. It means you've ended the relationship, hopefully. So in speech, especially in informal speech, you'd use to get rid of, but to rid yourself of something or someone, that's much more formal language. You'd be unlikely to use that in speech. And there's a noun that goes with this. Sometimes when something or someone has been gotten rid of, that's that gotten again, and you're pleased about it, you might say good riddance, which is R-I-D-D-A-N-C-E. Another saying is good riddance to bad rubbish. It might be, finally, my daughter has got rid of that horrible husband of hers. Good riddance to bad rubbish. What about to get together? Well, this can mean to get together as a couple when two people start dating or start having a relationship. But more commonly, to get together is what people say when they're organising a social occasion, a party or a barbecue or a nice evening together. In the UK, a few weeks ago, when people were finally allowed to meet up, six people from different households could meet in a garden. People got together around barbecues and fire pits because the weather was still cold. So you might hear, we must get together soon. Why don't we come over to your house? It's also used as a noun in informal spoken English too. When are we having our next get-together? Or let's have a get-together for my birthday next Friday. And what about to get up? Well, this is universally used, whether formal or informal language. To get up in the morning means to rise from your bed, to get out of bed and start your day. That's to get up. Hurry up and get up or you'll be late for work. Or I get up when my alarm goes off at 7:30. Another phrase we might use here, rise and shine. Get up like the sun and shine in the morning. So to get up means the action of getting out of your bed and starting your day. Whereas to wake up, that's W-A-K-E, wake up, means that you stop sleeping, you become aware again. Perhaps you open your eyes. So you wake up and then you get up, usually in that order. A slightly different meaning of to get up, there's also to get up to something. If you get up to something, it means you do something, usually a bit suspect or a bit naughty. We might say, have you been getting up to mischief? Mischief, M-I-S-C-H-I-E-F, is another word for naughtiness or being naughty. So things which perhaps you shouldn't do, but they're not serious wrongs. If someone asks you, what have you been getting up to lately? This simply means, what have you been doing lately? But it's sometimes used where there's a sense that others may disapprove of what you're doing. You might say, looking through the window at your neighbours in their garden, I wonder what those two are getting up to. But it's quite light-hearted, not serious. I wonder what they got up to on that hen night. Or, my cat gets up to all kinds of things if I leave him alone in the kitchen. Okay, so that's enough phrasal verbs to be going on with. Just to recap, that's to get out of, to get over, to get rid of, to get together, to get up, and to get up to. These are probably quite difficult to remember when you first hear them. So listen to this podcast a number of times to help sort out these different meanings of the verb, to help them stick in your memory. Just like it says in Rule 2 of the 7 Rules of Adept English, repeating your listening is a really, really, really important part of learning how to speak English or any foreign language. And it's an important part of learning how to speak English quickly, or more quickly at least. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. That's the end of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You can listen to hundreds more podcasts and learn more about our approach to language learning with our free English language course available at adeptenglish.com. If you're serious about your English language learning and you want to go further and progress faster, we have English courses ready to download at adeptenglish.com today.